If you would please turn to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be actually reading it much later in this message, but I just want you to be kind of ready at that time. So if you want to put a bookmarker in there and you can close it. We have a lot of scripture. You know, I was talking earlier, God's word is just so wonderful. I love just preaching a message that's just totally wrapped in the word of God, because there's nothing to fear when it's the word speaking truth. So I have a lot of scripture that we're going to be looking up here on the PowerPoint. But today we're going to be talking about good works, how good works relate to our faith and our salvation. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little confused about it. What am I responsible to do? Am I doing enough for God? What works am I supposed to be doing? So we're going to be talking about how good works relate to our faith and our salvation. Because the good news, if we are a saint, if we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have received His Holy Spirit. We don't earn salvation by doing good works. We don't, by doing good works, that is not how we're saved. But good works are a result or a byproduct of our salvation. You know, good works happen because we're saved. We don't do good works in order to earn salvation. And that's good news, isn't it? That we don't have to work to achieve salvation or approval in Jesus Christ. So we're going to be starting off with Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. And I know this is a familiar verse probably to most of you here, but it's a wonderful verse. It's a wonderful truth. And it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." God's grace, I love the acronym G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense, because grace is completely 100% from God. We can't earn or create grace apart from God. He gives us grace. And in His grace, there's such a wealth of things. It's His glory that He deposits into us with His grace. But along with grace, of course, is the most valuable thing that He gives us, which is salvation, because salvation is a part of His grace. So we see it is, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." I love the topic of faith because, you know, faith is our spiritual hands, or it's the conduit to receive from God what He wants to give us. We receive everything we get from God through our faith, and we receive salvation and God's grace through our faith in Him. So it says, "Is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." We can't save ourselves. "It is the gift of God, not of works," not things we're going to do, "lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship. We are His masterpiece. We are His anointed ones, His chosen ones, His royal priests and priestesses. We are His representation, His ambassador to this world. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So, you know, there's good works prepared for each one of us to do, that He just wants us to walk in His good works while we live on this planet. When you think about it, when we get saved, otherwise, wouldn't He have just taken us with Him? When we get saved, it's like, zip, we go right up to heaven with Him. Why not? But it's like we're supposed to be living His life down here that He wishes to live in us. It's wonderful. When we get saved, it's almost like we receive a welcome package. You know, He gives us spiritual gifts. We don't have time to go through those today, but we receive spiritual gifts. And those gifts are always increasing, always multiplying and growing and expanding. As we become mature in the Spirit, we see more and more of God's gifts being manifested through us. And along with that, now that He has equipped us with the gifts, He also appoints works for us to do. That He has plenty of them for us to just walk in. They're all around us. Sometimes we beat ourselves up and say, "Oh no, I got saved. Now I got to move to Africa and feed poor people in a hut." You know, I mean, that's our vision, is now God's going to take me somewhere that I don't necessarily want to go right now. But I believe when we're in the Spirit, He will lead us to wherever we're meant to be, because His work is all around us, every day, everywhere. There's plenty to do, and it's easy, which we're going to see later. It's easy Because he's making it possible because he's doing it. Because he equips us with gifts of the Spirit, he equips us. And then as a result of those gifts, we produce good works, which in the end produce fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is the result of those good works, both to us and to others who receive whatever work God is doing through us. So he equips us, he supports us, he completes the work, we're going to see in a minute. He completes the work, and then he rewards us for doing the work he did through us. So he does all of it. He equips, supports, completes, and rewards. Imagine working for a boss like that, okay? Could you imagine? Okay, you're hired. Now I'm going to equip you with a bachelor's degree. Then I'm going to send you for a master's degree and then a doctorate degree. And then I'm going to equip you with your own laptop, with your phone or your iPhone. I'm going to equip you with a company car. I'm going to equip you with everything you need to get the job done. And then I'm going to support you with a staff, a secretary, a support staff, people who investigate things for you to complete the task that I've given you to do. And then when the project is almost done, I'm going to complete it by bringing in the sales team, and I'm going to close the deal. And then when the work is all completed, you're going to get a big fat bonus. I want to work there, don't you? I mean, doing everything for you. And yet that's what happens in the kingdom of God. He is doing it all for us and through us. It's just a wonderful thing. And it's easy because it's him doing the work. Amen. Jesus, it was the same for Jesus. When Jesus was sent by the Father, he came and the Father did everything through his Son. Everything the Son did, he did as a result of his Father telling him to do these things, living the perfect life, okay, doing the miracles. And of course, when he died on the cross, that was the ultimate work he came on earth to do, die for our sins. And then he rose again to give us eternal life. And it was the work of the Father, the good work the Father gave his Son to do. In fact, we're going to look at John 5:36. Jesus says, but I have a greater witness than John's. That's John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was a prophet. He says, I have a greater work than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Did you catch that? For the works which the Father has given me to finish. You know, he completed the Father's work. And as by Christ doing the Father's work, he was representing the character of his Father in heaven. And he was also bearing witness that he was sent by the Father to this earth to do his works. Well, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I send you. So the very same thing is true about us. Because by us living the life of Christ down here, by him living through us, we're an evidence of the character of Christ, and we're also evidence that he has sent us because we are his testimony that Jesus lives in heaven and lives right here in me. He is the testimony living through us, and he completes the work, as we're going to see in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's the one doing the work. He's the one completing the work. Because it's his strength we're doing these things. And then also Philippians 2:12-13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, if you stopped there, wouldn't you think work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? That means I got to work hard to keep my salvation. It would look that way, that we're in fear. But read on. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It's him doing the work. and it's his good pleasure to do the work. God gets excited by living through you. It is how he enjoys it so much. And he always did. Remember when, even when Jesus walked the face of the earth and he was with his disciples, and he would walk along and he would say, "You feed them. You feed the 5,000. Because he wanted them to. He said to Peter, "Come, walk on the water." Because he wanted him to. He wanted them to do the good works. He sent them out, cast out the demons, heal people. Because he found enjoyment in seeing his life being lived through his disciples, even though the Holy Spirit was not living in them yet. But still, he was given authority to do these things because Jesus loved to see people doing what he would do. He wants to share because it's a great work and it's fun and it's exciting and it's an adventure living in the Spirit. And to him, that's as exciting. It's very exciting to him. And that's why he said, you know, someday you're all going to do more than I did. You're going to do more because there's going to be more of you doing things in my name with my power. Because you're my representative. You know, that he always had that in mind for us to do these things by the power of his Spirit. And he enjoys that. Now you might be thinking, yeah, but, you know, when I got saved, I was told that I don't have to do anything. That I just accept him and I receive salvation and someday I go to heaven. You know, what's this middle part here that I got to do things? I don't want to do anything. Well, all of us can be that way. But when we realize that it is for our joy and pleasure and his joy and pleasure and the joy and pleasure of other people around us that he wants to live through us, we realize it's not a requirement that we do things. It's a rewirement. I mean, think about it. It's not a requirement that we do works for God. We do good works because he is rewiring what's inside us. He's rewiring our desires, our passions. He's rewiring what motivates us. He's transforming us from the inside out. So it's not a requirement to do good works. It's a rewirement that we do good works because he's doing the good work in us. And it's very difficult to even kick against the goads and not do the work of Christ when he's really living in us. And that's why we do these good works, because God knows one way or another we're going to serve something or someone down here. Don't we? We all serve something. We either serve money, and Jesus said you can't serve two masters, you can't serve money, God and mammon. Perhaps we serve success, or we serve temporary pleasures or addictions to substances, or we serve the fear of man. We're trying to appease other people. We're serving to be codependent with someone. We're serving something down here one way or another. And God knows that. And he says, you know what, let me set you free of the yoke that you are serving down here and take my yoke. Let me do the work through you. Let me set you free. You're going to serve someone. Galatians 4:7 says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of the God through Christ. Heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, talking about when you're unsaved, you served those which by nature are not gods. You served somebody. We're all serving something or someone. And he says, now you're no longer a slave. You're a son. You're a child of mine. We're going to serve something or someone. And he knows that. And he wants to set us free of serving the pattern of this world so that he can live through us and be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we will know his perfect will for our lives. You know, he said, let me set you free of that yoke. I was looking for a yoke, but I couldn't find one. So I have the next best thing. I have something that attaches to a yoke, okay? I like using props. Because this afternoon, someone will say, what was that service about? Like, I don't know. Oh, yeah, he held that thing up in the air. It had to do with a yoke or something or work. He says in Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, we're serving something already. We're already in servitude. But he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If I had to pull this thing around all day long, that would be very tiring. But when he is doing the work, it's light, it's easy, because it's his yoke, not the one you've chosen in this world. It's his yoke that he's doing all the work. I'm going to put this thing down before my tear a tendon or something. But, you know, it's his work, and he wants to shatter the yoke of this world and shatter the chains of slavery to this world and let us live in his yoke, you know, the yoke of the Spirit of God. We see in the news, you know, it seems like the economy hopefully is recovering a bit, and we always look at the unemployment figures as an indicator of how the economy is going. And when employment is high, that means it's good for the economy. Unemployment's low because that means that there is commerce going on. There's things being manufactured. There's things being sold. And people are spending money and they're paying their taxes. They're paying their bills. It's a lucrative commerce. The country is doing well. And the indication is that people are working. Because, you know, work is a gift of God, you know. And in the same very way, when the kingdom of God is in high employment on this earth, it's a good indicator that the kingdom of God is healthy here on earth, isn't it? I mean, think about it. When the saints are living the Christ life, it's an indicator that the kingdom of God is healthy and vibrant and doing business here in this world. Because he wants us to be living in the Spirit, and he wants us to be at work for his cause. Because people down here who don't belong to the kingdom say, you know what? How do I get in on that kingdom? You know, how do I immigrate or something into that kingdom? You know, I want to cross the borders. How do I get in? Because it's lucrative there. I want to live there in the kingdom. How do I get there? When the saints are doing the Lord's work, we're exhibiting that this is a profitable kingdom, not only down here, but through eternity. Because this is the wealth of God, his glory. And it's an excellent sign that the kingdom is healthy and vibrant and open for business when the saints are doing the Lord's work. And not only does God benefit because it pleases him, others benefit because they're being served. When you serve these little children, you serve me, Jesus said. And also we're benefiting in so many ways. Yesterday, a few of us, just kind of spontaneous, went down to Kensington with my son and a few others. And we said, let's go down there and just see if we could find something. We were on this thing called a kingdom assignment. But we said, let's go down there and just, we have these care packages. We'll just find people along the streets to, you know, talk to them, pray with them, give them bags, you know, and so forth. And just, you know, help them out. So we went down there and we're driving down, you know, Kensington Avenue looking for something. And it was so cool because in the heart of, you know, a really dilapidated part of the city and world where we were, very riddled with the Antichrist works right there. And as we're driving down, suddenly we saw all these people waiting in line at Cast Your Cares Ministries, waiting to get food. And they're cooking burgers. You could smell that nice, juicy burgers on the grill. All these people lined up. And then across the street, this other ministry, another denomination across the street. And they were a food bank giving food away. And we suddenly stopped and said, you know what? Let's stop here. And we got out, we just started talking to people, praying with people, giving them bags. You know, the kingdom was open for business. in Kensington that day, even when there was blight and just drugs, heroin, everything riveting through that community, there's the light. The kingdom is there, and there's evidence of it. And people who experience that say, I want to be, how do I become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? That's what I want, because here is where there's people caring about me rather than this world that is trying to enslave me or use me for something. And in the same way, it's a benefit for the kingdom of God to be working, you know, the works of God. Individually, it's a sign that our faith is healthy. We can see that Christ really is thinking, loving, and caring through my life. I know my faith is healthy. I really don't even have to worry about sin. I mean, that's the truth. You know, when we're in the Spirit, we're not even, sin is not an issue. Because you know what? The Spirit is empowering us. And sin has no hold on us. We've already overcome it. And it's His life being lived. You know, why focus on the negative things that we're supposed to turn away from when we could turn to Him and think about Him, keep our eyes fixed on Him? I found a verse that said one time that repentance, we repent because of God's goodness. We don't repent saying, I don't want to do that anymore. We repent because God is awesome. That's why we turn to God, because He is awesome and wonderful and loving. That's why we don't turn away from something bad to what? We turn to Christ. The goodness of Him keeps us, you know? So it's so healthy for our own personal faith when we're doing the works of God. You know, even Solomon, the Old Testament, before believers even had the Spirit living in them all the time, Solomon even said, what a wonderful gift it is for someone to be doing the good works of God. And we see in Ecclesiastes, if we can put this up here, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life. No regrets. Things don't always happen the way we hoped or figured they would or should. Right now, I'm sure Mike Fischera is and Linda are thinking that right now. But you know, it's God's will. He is doing something in the midst of all of it, no matter what it is. For he will not dwell unduly on the day of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. When we're working in the Spirit, he is feeding us joy, even in the days where we shouldn't, by the world standards, be happy at all. Because it's him doing the work. Because work is good for us. And God knows that. It's always been God's plan to work. You know, I don't always like that word, work. But it's always been God's plan, because it is healthy for us. Even in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 2:15, then he said, then the Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Now here's the Garden of Eden, a perfect place. Everything was growing on its own. It was perfect. God made it. It was good. Nothing needed to be done in there. But he put Adam in there just to tend and keep it. Wouldn't you like a job like that? Listen, just walk around, Larry, and tend and keep things. Well, what does that mean? You know, I don't know what Adam was doing, but he couldn't have been doing too much. You know, he's tending and he's keeping. Okay? I mean, that's a good place to live, isn't it? When you're just tending and keeping and that's your job. You know, he didn't even have to water things, because the garden was being watered by four rivers. Four rivers, the Pishon River, the Gihon River, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, the Hiddekel, even wronger, okay, but he's wondering what the Hiddekel, and then the Euphrates, I think I got that one, but the Euphrates, four rivers running into the Garden of Eden, watering everything there. And you know what's cool about that? You know what these four rivers, these names mean? Increase, bursting forth, rapid fruitfulness. Adam was right in the place that God was producing, nourishing, and supplying everything he needed to have a fruitful life. And that's what he's doing for us. That's the place to live in his Spirit, where he's doing the work, he's supporting the work, and he's completing the work. But of course, we know the story. We know the story about Adam, what happened. He ate the tree of the good, of knowledge of good and evil. And the next verse, not the next verse, chapter 3, we see verse 17. Then to Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Toil. Now he's going to toil. He used to tend. Now he's toiling. You know, do you want to tend or do you want to toil? I'd rather be a tender than a toiler. You know, whatever. I'm sure these aren't real words, but you know what I mean? Because to toil is sweat and it's a curse, you know? But when we're in the Spirit, it's him doing the work and we're tending because it's where he wants us to be. But when, even though he's rewiring us, if we say, I don't want it, I'm going to do my own thing. Now we're toiling. Now we're working hard. We're saying, why isn't God blessing me? Why aren't things going better for me? Why aren't I seeing the fruit of the Spirit in my life? Because we're toiling where we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be tending the great work that he's doing in us. Amen? Amen. You know, Jesus said to his disciples at the Last Supper, I love reading John from like, you know, all of it, but 13 through like 17, those times, that intimate time when he was with his disciples telling them, you know, I'm going home soon. But don't worry, I won't leave you here as orphans. I'm going to be supplying what you need to do. And I'm going to be providing for you, even within my physical absence, because the Holy Spirit, of course, is going to be doing all this work. And then he said to him in John 15, he says, I no longer call you servants. John 15 in verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. I mean, we know why God's doing what he's doing. In fact, even it's funny, Jeff, I was thinking earlier, said, you know, everyone squeeze in. And then he said, did anyone ever tell us why we do that? Because if we know why we're doing something, it makes it easier for it to comply, doesn't it? Because, you know, God tells us his plan for our lives. To spiritually prosper us, you know, and to benefit our lives for eternity especially. And he has every good and perfect gift. So he tells us what's going on. And he said, we don't always know physically why, but we know he's got everything under control and we can trust him. For he says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For the things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I no longer call you servants. Now, it scratched my head. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, he no longer calls us servants? And he doesn't. He no longer calls us servants in the Bible. A few verses later in 20, he does say, remember when I told you a servant is not greater than his master? If the world hates you, it hated me first. But he's flashbacking to a previous conversation, but he doesn't see us as servants. And yet we know that Peter and Paul start their letters off a bond servant of Jesus Christ. Jude and James, his own half brothers who grew up with him, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. They refer to themselves as a servant, but Jesus doesn't see us as servants. I'm thinking, well, why the difference? But I really believe it's because Jesus sees us in the heavenlies with him. He knows our eternal position with him. And when he sees us, he's saying, I'm serving through you for a short time, but I know who you really are. And I know you're with me because he's outside of time and we're in the future with him, you know, in a sense. And he sees us as his life being lived. He doesn't see us as a servant. It's right for us to see ourselves as a bondservant, however, because a bondservant is a slave. And it says that we're a slave to righteousness because now it's his life being lived in me. I belong to him. And you know what? I wouldn't want to belong to anyone else or anything else because he has my best interest at heart and he lives in me. So in a sense, we're not serving. We're not like this servant that says, listen, don't ask why, just go do that, okay? And then when you're done, live back in your shed or just get out of here. We're not that kind of servant, okay? We're a bond servant of righteousness. He loves us so much. Would a master die for his servant? You know what I mean? Would he rise again? Would he live in his servant? That's the kind of master and king that we serve. He does all the dirty work through us, you know? He does it for us. So when we see, you know, that he doesn't consider us that type of servant, we're much more important than a measly servant. Just to kind of further that concept, you remember the prodigal son in Luke 15 where the younger son says, you know, Father, I want half my inheritance and I'm going to go out. And he left and he went to a foreign land and he spent all his money on all kinds of bad things, you know. And then there was a famine in the land. And at that point, he had nothing. So the word says he joined himself to a citizen of that land. Joined himself. He became a slave to the world. He joined himself to the world, you know? And then suddenly, when he's feeding the pigs, and he's like, you know, he can't even eat any of the pig food. I mean, he has got nothing. I'm like, some master to have, right? You can't even eat the pig's food. And suddenly he remembers, wait a minute, you know, my dad was even good to his servants. I know what I'll do. I'll go back and I'll say, I don't deserve to be your son. Let me just be one of your servants just so that I can get by, just so that I could survive. Let me just serve you. So he goes back home and he's walking up the road and his father sees him from far off. And he sees him walking up the road and he runs to him. He runs to him and he hugs him and he falls on his neck and he's bawling his eyes out. And his son starts his speech. I don't deserve to be your son anymore. Just let me be a servant for you. Just to keep me alive. And he says, let's have a party because my son who was once lost is now found. He'll still serve, but he's serving as a son. That's who we serve. We serve a father who blesses us because we're co-heirs to the kingdom. We don't serve as a measly servant. We serve our master because we belong to him and we're co-heirs to the kingdom of God. And that's a wonderful, wonderful example of how we serve God. Now, you might be thinking, well, I haven't really experienced God in my heart. In fact, I don't even know what works I'm supposed to be doing. I don't sense that there's this really this different life living in me. I don't know what good works to do. I don't know whether I'm doing the works of God or not. Well, I think, first of all, we might be beating ourselves up a bit because the good works are right next to you. Right around you every day. You know, Christ just would go along and do what he was meant to do. You know, the great works God wants to do are small. It says to walk in them. Walk in them. Don't run past everything and go to where you're. It's everywhere. We're probably beating ourselves up saying, I'm not doing enough for God. Maybe it's self-condemnation. It says rest. Remember the yoke? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just rest. Take it easy. Now, if you say, well, I am taking it easy, I think, and I'm still not experiencing this joy of the work of my salvation, I just wonder, possibly it's idols. Because, you know, still, if we're idolizing something and we have another master in this world, in a sense, we're going to be obstructing the life of Christ being lived through us because we're not seeing the next person over and thinking, right now, I am acting as Christ to this person. I am his life being lived to this person. We're not, because we're too consumed with whatever we're idolizing or loving in this world. We're loving this world and we're missing our eternal purpose. It might be idols. Maybe it's sin. You know, sin has a way of just digging it down deep in the roots in everything in our life. And all of a sudden, all of our motives are all screwed up because of what we're consuming. And suddenly we're not viewing ourselves as the image of Christ. Yeah, but I know what I just did or thought. And we're letting the accuser accuse us based on what we did. And we're using that, and we're consumed with that, and we're missing the whole harvest around us because we're so self-consumed with guilt. There's no condemnation in Christ. In Christ, he's always good news. No matter where you are in life, he's saying, I'm good news. I'm good news. Just drop what you're doing and come on back. I'm good news. Or possibly another reason you're not experiencing the good works in your life is because you really haven't ever given your life to Christ. You might have prayed a prayer one time, but somehow you just never really said, this is a matter of eternity. I really want Christ to live in me. And I'm ready to lay down my passions, my sins, everything, and just receive the Spirit of God to live his life down here. If that's where you are today, I'm just pleading you with you, man, because days are short. Everyone's days are short, no matter how young you are. This is like a little dash compared to eternity that we're living right now. I'm just saying, man, let God just consume you. Just say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I just want to rest in you. I don't care what happens next. I just want to rest in you. I want to give my life to you now. And I just really implore you to do that. Because, you know, it all comes down to what we believe and who we believe God is. Because there is one work you and I have to do. And you know what that one work is? We're going to see in John chapter 6, 28 and 29. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. It just comes down to believing, just giving your life and saying, you know what? I have nothing else. Here I am. Just take me and live through me. It all just comes down to what we believe about ourselves. Even James in chapter 2, verse 20, it says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. It's so important for us to realize that we have to receive Christ in faith, because then he will do all the works through us. Some people read James and think, well, if I'm not doing enough, that's just, I have to do more. If you're not doing anything for Christ, the works aren't the problem. It's the faith. It's what you believe, who you believe you are. Do you really believe that Christ lives in you? If not, I just want to invite you today, this afternoon, tonight, sometime soon, come up to someone that you know that is living, just loves God and say, I want to do this. What do I do? It just comes to just giving your life to Christ and receiving his life, dying to yourself and receiving his. But we're going to close in Matthew 25. See, you didn't turn to that for no reason. And this is a great example of what we believe about God will determine not only what we do, but also how we're blessed in this world. Because remember, we receive everything through faith. So the less faith we have, I know you only need a faith of a mustard seed, but you know that mustard seed grows. The more you allow him to live through you, your faith will get stronger, 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 proven again and again and again and again and again. And all of a sudden, before you know it, like, I really am a conqueror. I really am royalty in this world in terms of living the life of Christ. And it doesn't matter what anyone says or does against me, I have overcome. We overcome with our faith. And this shows an example in verse 14. And this is the parable of the talents. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And we'll read through it. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. See, God, he only gives what we can handle. He's not going to say to do things that we're unable to complete. And immediately he went on a journey. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So, verse 20, he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Who delivered them to him? Whose talents were they? It all came from the Lord, right? He said, look, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. I have gained 5 more besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful, what? You were faithful over few things. I will make you what? Ruler over many things. See, from servant to ruler. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. And look, I have now 2 more talents. And his Lord said to him the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, because serving the Lord is joy and it's easy. Not maybe every single second of the day, but it is easy because he's doing the work. But then verse 24, here comes the bad news. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. That's not the thing to say to your boss. It's not the way to win friends and influence enemies. Okay, and then he said, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. See, the big sin here is not that he missed the opportunity. It's the fact that his view of God was wrong. Our belief about God, if we're thinking that he's just waiting to slap us across the head because we didn't do enough for him. If we're thinking of him as putting undue restraints on our life, he's just trying to steal all the fun I really want to have. Following God means I just can't do all the things I want to do. I mean, that might be the view sometimes that people have of God, and that isn't God. God is the father that ran down the path and said, my son is back, loving us so much, because he really doesn't even want our works. He wants our heart. He'll do the works. He just wants our love. And the big wrong that was done here is that this servant had a wrong view of the master. He's a hard man. He wants what he didn't even plant himself, you know? And then watch verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. That's a question mark. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at the coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. That's capitalism there. No. But really, the Lord, the more you receive, the more he'll give. If you leave some behind, he's not going to give anymore. You know, because he wants to anoint us with more and more and more. You know, increase, bursting forth, rapid fruitfulness. That's what he wants for our lives. He wants to give you more. A Christian life is receiving. Really, we came to him because we needed a Savior. You know, everything is him giving to us. It's just a wonderful Savior we have. And then he says, verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. You know, our days are numbered. It's so, so important for us to just value that Christ wants to live through you. It's not a requirement. It's a rewirement. Why conform when you could be transformed? Let's live the best life that he wants to live through us and live his life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for being a God who really does all the work. Lord God, you will complete the work. We just want to rest. rest in who you are. Rest in who you made us to be and be okay with ourselves. Because there's no condemnation in Christ, Lord God. You are the one who knows what he's doing, and you will not require more of us than we can do. So we thank you for these wonderful truths. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.